Holy there, guys. Welcome back to Holy Stupid Answers. Happy Halloween. Because it's coming out on Halloween. I hope you guys are having a very spooky day. DJ, I hope you're having a spooky time.
Oh, man, I'm having a very spooky time. How do you feel about Halloween falling on a Monday this year?
I'm a little bit bummed about that, but you know what? I'm not bummed about Halloween. Halloween's my favorite holiday, but you know what I love more than Halloween? Holy Stupid Answers. It's the best damn podcast you can put your ears into. Now there's a little harmony. Guys, this is the podcast where DJ and I sit down in your car with you on your way to work, or on the bus with you on your way to work, or anywhere on your way to work, or anywhere.
School
even.
Option.
There's many options, but we like to talk about movies.
Yes.
TV shows.
That's it.
Comics. I was doing a ping pong. I was waiting for a yes. I was waiting for a second.
No, it's too late for that.
Oh, it's okay. But guys, you can listen to this podcast on so many different platforms. So many wonderful ones.
Yes.
Name a few.
Spotify.
Yeah.
iTunes.
Love it.
Stitcher.
Mm-mm.
Audio Boom.
Yep.
Overcast.
Even better.
Player FM.
Wait, I don't know where to get to buy either of those.
Many more.
There's many more.
Many more.
And maybe many more to come. Nothing down the pipeline, but who knows? But you know what we love?
You guys.
We love you guys, mm-hmm. and we love this specific number of you that have gone to iTunes to rate and review us, especially those 5-star reviews. We love them. Right off the top, we got one brand new, October 27th. Wobble Wobble J writes, title. It's not sliced bread, but it's pretty close. 5 stars. And then here we go, guys. I'm going to go ahead and attempt to read this whole thing without one problem. And here we go. If you like to have an intelligent conversation about nerdy things like comics, TV shows, movies, and etc., then this is the podcast for you. DJ and Sam have a deep knowledge of everything comics, and this podcast is more than that. It is a conversation with your best friends about everything you love. This podcast is the best thing since sliced bread. Smiley face.
You nailed that, man.
Thank you.
Only was a good review, but you nailed it.
Advertisers? I can do a good ad read.
There you go, advertisers.
Speaking of which, wink. This episode is brought to you by the next comment.
Okay. Nerdy Cowboy with a K.
Cow.
Best for nerds, best for thinkers. Sam and DJ do a great job of covering such a wide range of topics. I love listening to this every week. Fun guys with open minds but firm beliefs that discuss everything from comics to nerd shows to the universe as a whole. Still my favorite episode. Do yourself a favor and subscribe.
Please.
I had a moment right before I read that my mouth filled up so much with spit. We made it through.
Mm-hmm. Guys, thank you for joining us. Today, actually, immediately before filming this or recording it, we did a little live stream on the Only Stupid Answers YouTube page.
We threatened you guys with a movie night about episode 2, I think. And we finally delivered on that promise.
That's how punctual we are. We're on top of it. But we put out a poll. You guys voted, and we watched Wes Craven's New Nightmare. It is a 94 movie, kind of in the Freddy Krueger genre of things, and a bunch of you joined us.
Yeah, it's a Nightmare on Elm Street. You know what, man? I'm struggling right now because
we're sitting at weird angles. If you guys
want to adjust real quick.
Okay, if you guys look down really quick, you'll see that we're sitting at weird angles. Right now, DJ's going to adjust. Move your feet, guys, so you can move around, please. You need some room. Are you guys being nice? Our mics are on arms and he's just yanking it. Yeah, look down, guys. Can you look down, please? Can you move your feet? Jesus, man, your shoes are muddy. You guys know your shoes are muddy. It's raining out right now. Man, I want to know how accurate I am. Wow. I want to know how accurate I am for when people listen to this. And I want people's to freak out. Oh, no, you haven't.
Did this work? Did this help? I don't think
it helped. It helped. Does the mic still sit right where it needs to sit?
Kind of.
Yeah, pretty good.
I'm keeping all this in.
We have to keep this in. We painted a picture of a scenario, and you guys get to be with us.
Wait, I'm getting there.
Wait a minute. Wait, guys. Guys, can you hold on just a second? Guys, damn it. Hold on 1 second. Hey.
Hey, Sam, why don't you talk about what... the things you did this week.
Oh, you didn't want to wait. I like to see what you were doing. All right, I'll fill the air with words. Well, the thing I was into this week, I kind of mentioned on the live stream, which Wes Craven's Nightmare was pretty fun.
We got some tweets talking about that a little bit, and so I think we'll talk about that a little bit. Mm-hmm. And the
You nailed it. Don't worry, it's sitting right there. It's doing great. But I also watched Event Horizon this week, which is a horror movie. The basic premise
is... I enjoy that movie quite a bit.
It's really cool. If you're a sci-fi lover, it's very fun. It's basically like if you could create warp drive where it would bend space and create a portal to go from one place to another... what's the worst case scenario? Oh, it opens a portal to hell and you get sucked into it. And it's like,
it's
like
if you're watching Star Trek and every time they went into warp space, they came back like flayed.
It's so cool. That was fun. Keeping up with American Horror Story because I'm now up to date with it. Man, this season is getting crazy. Yeah,
I really enjoyed the last two episodes. I do think it switches up quite a bit around episode five. I think the first five episodes could have been three.
But I
but other than that, great.
I know that the last episode, based on like what the creator has said, is that the first five episodes were one story. We've seen two of a four-part story that we're going to get. And then the final episode is its like own self-contained
story. That's so cool.
Yeah. And they are kind of flying through characters right now. If you guys are watching
especially when you say like the next one's only four episodes, it's like... I like this more.
Yeah, it's a lot cool. It's very, very cool. But I like the world they set up with it. They set up a very distinct, like, I don't know, cool little universe over there. But also, I picked up Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur, and that is a print that Marvel has, and it's very cute, and it's very positive. Devil Dinosaurs is a character created by Jack Kirby. It's supposed to be Moon Boy and Devil Dinosaur.
Yeah.
And it's Moon Boy is like a... In Marvel Universe, there's like this weird place called the Savage Land where it basically is everything is prehistoric, kind of like the land of the time forgot or whatever kind of thing. And Moon Boy's a caveman, and he teams up with Devil Dinosaur, this kind of slightly mutated T-Rex that is red, and he sometimes has like fire that comes out of his eyes. I'm not really sure. Anyways, in Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur, it takes place in present-day New York, and this like time like fragment thing basically swapped some regular everyday people and some cavemen.
Nice.
And so and from the past, and Devil Dinosaur got yanked in too to present day. So Moon Girl, who's Lunella Lafayette,
cool,
she is the smartest girl in the world, at least she thinks she's a fourth grader, teams up with Devil Dinosaur to take out the cavemen and send them back. But what you find out is that she's an inhuman.
Nice.
And she's very... and
cheater.
Right, and, yeah.
It's easy for an inhuman to be the smartest person in the world.
But she hasn't changed. And so she's very scared. And her parents don't know that she's an inhuman. She's so smart. She did a blood test and she found out she is one.
Because something that's confusing, they don't really talk about the... I guess they talk about this in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. You can be an inhuman without going through Terra Genesis.
Yeah.
And getting your powers.
Mm-hmm.
Karnak is infamously...
He didn't go through Terra Genesis?
He did not go through Terra Genesis.
But he has power.
No, he's just the pinnacle of whatever the hell he is.
Really? I thought he could, like, pinpoint...
He sees the weakness in everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was his...
He's kind of an asshole, too, man.
Yeah.
He is a jerk.
I read it in a Daredevil comic, and, like,
because he recently showed up in that.
Yeah.
I was reading the... Because
he finds out he's blind, like, immediately.
Yeah.
It's cool. I thought you were...
No. I was reading Warren Ellis was doing a run on it, and it was just too much of a gap between issues for me to keep up.
Oh, Karnak, right? There was like a year.
Yeah, it was rough. It wasn't that bad, but it was rough.
But it was a good comic?
Yeah, I mean, it's Warren Ellis. Like, Warren Ellis, it's like the only reason... I like the idea of the Wildstorm characters. I'm crossing my fingers that this new incarnation takes place in the DCU, because I like the different... They're bringing Wildstorm back as its own imprint, like Young Animal.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And they have Midnighter and Apollo together.
And you know how... Gerard Way is like the showrunner for Young Animal.
Mm-hmm.
Warren Ellis is the showrunner for the new Wildstorm.
Oh.
And that's the main reason I'm going to check it out.
That's cool.
Because he's great. And he also did my favorite run on Moon Knight. He did a 6-issue run on Moon Knight that blew my mind.
That's cool. I like Midnighter and Apollo right now. It's very cool. It's like, also, it's kind of cool to read a really strong gay couple in comics.
I wish Apollo was the actual god Apollo from Wonder Woman.
That'd be fun.
Now that everything's been welded together, there's too many proto-Supermen running around.
Uh-huh, and Batman. But Midnighter is Batman that just pulls your spine out of your ass.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Anyway, speaking about that Moon Girl. So basically she teams up with Devil Dinosaur.
Being pulled out of asses.
She teams up with like Totally Awesome Hulk, Miss Marvel. Who was the new one? Another Avenger that I am blanking on right now. But
everybody's favorite.
It's super sweet. And... it's just so cute because she's so stuck up. She is so, like, she can't relate with anybody because she's so intelligent. And, like, because of that, like, her parents don't know what to do with her and her teacher doesn't. But she still goes to public school. And she, like, is just I don't know. It's really cute. In the past couple of issues, there's been like this Lego competition, and since Lego is so up their ass about copyright, every time Lego's in the text, it's always copywritten. I'm like, that's pulling me out of what you're doing right now. I don't like that. So,
but they let them use it. That's kind of crazy.
It is, and they're basically, it's like a contest to build the most like epic Lego structure, and mm-hmm. you could get a STEM. Not donation, scholarship.
Yeah.
A STEM scholarship from it. And it's cool.
Legos are so cool, man. Mm-hmm. Lego, that's the plural. The plural of Lego is Lego. I'm sorry.
I saw that. And
before
I was like,
anybody corrects me.
It's like how Google doesn't want you to say, go Google it. They want you to say, go search for it. It's like, no, we're going to go Google it. Same
like
Legos.
Grab me a Kleenex. Yeah, but Lego is great. I don't know what makes Lego so special,
mm-hmm.
but there's something really special about it.
It's cool.
I don't know.
And they had a lot of product placement for Avengers Legos in there. I was like, okay.
Of course.
I'll deal with it, whatever.
And also, it's crazy that that Lego Dimension Games exists where they have like every property.
Could you imagine a TV show for Lego Dimensions?
No.
Yeah, how cool would that be?
No, I could not imagine.
Wizard of Oz, Harry Potter, Ghostbusters, Mr. T, Batman. What other properties they have? Oh, Doctor Who.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's so many. Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Gremlins.
Gremlins. Yep. Gremlins.
Everybody's favorite. Gremlins.
Gremlins. That's the knockoff one that that Power Block makes.
Mm-hmm. Power Block. Fuck Power Block, man.
What are you into?
Oh, man. You know, I've had a really busy week. Kids at home, I am working on some stuff that I hope you enjoy.
Huh.
Because it's a lot.
Can you tease
exciting.
One of them?
No.
Oh, good.
No. You know what? I can. I'm working on... my two big things right now is I'm working on making a comic book. I hope that gets you guys excited at home.
I'm excited at home.
And I'm also working on a new short film.
Mm.
Yeah. And so that's just taking a lot of my spare time. I started playing Vigima games again a little bit.
Which game?
I got a Mega Ruby. Pokemon Omega Ruby.
Oh, okay.
And I'm trying to beat it before the new Pokemon game comes out. So
you
I don't
nerd.
Yeah. I know. But I've also been playing Fallout 4. I'm so behind on video games, guys, man.
It's okay. Yeah, you have a full-time job.
Yeah.
When I hear people that we work with beating games like in a weekend, I was like,
what are you
did
doing?
Did you
Where?
Not do anything?
Well, not only do we have a full-time job,
uh-huh.
we have this.
And this.
And we have our side projects that we're doing.
Yeah. And like it's, I mean, I would... I want to pick up PSVR so fucking bad. Yeah. Like, I think
well,
Philip
hang out with
and
Mr. Zaragoza.
Yeah, I think Steve got it. I think Whitney got it, and Philip got it. And
holy
I was like,
shit.
I'm like, fuckers, that's so cool.
But while they're doing that, I'm still playing Fallout 4.
There you go.
I just started.
I just
joined the Brotherhood of Steel. It's great. I love Fallout.
Mm-hmm.
Fallout are amazing games. But those are the type of games. That's the thing is I've really grown to love games like Fallout and Witcher. Where it's like, all right, well, I'm going to spend the next 6 months of my life playing this game.
Yeah.
Whenever I play games. I mean, on the other hand, I really enjoyed Sunset Overdrive, and I enjoyed the Batman Arkham Knight.
Yeah.
Those but it's games like just, are so good. I just peter through them. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have a lot of time to like focus on them. But I've been playing that, and it's a lot of fun. I just joined the Brotherhood of Steel. Which this is where everybody comes out. you've only just joined the Brotherhood of Steel. Yeah, that's just what happened.
They comment like that too.
They do. But yeah, if I've been doing anything else, I don't think I've picked up a comic once this week, which is bumming me out.
You son of a bitch.
I know, man. I know. I did read, it's probably not even the most recent issue. Shit. Green Arrow, the first part of the one where he's stuck on the island with Black Canary, and I like their relationship so much. I mm-hmm. like Green Arrow and Black Canary. That series is like right now Superman knocking out of the park. The most recent stuff, Dinosaur
Superman
Island, all stuff
and action. Oh, did you finish Dinosaur Island? Or are you
not
still
yet, not okay, yet. Yeah. I'm still behind.
Mm.
Wonder Woman knocking out of the park.
Yeah.
Green Arrow is just solid. It's not like blowing your mind, but it's just solid. But the Green Arrow Black Canary relationship, I think, might be one of my favorite relationships in comics.
Yeah.
The way
it's
presented
so good.
Here. It's so funny how Green Arrow is basically a C-lister, but you can do so many cool things with him because he's one of the best parts of Justice League Unlimited,
mm-hmm.
which is one of the best comic adaptions ever.
He's like a low B.
He's
not a C. He's like a low B.
He's like a low B, but the point, like, and then you could make a show like Arrow off of him, which spawned a whole universe. And so it's funny how a character like that, like, I don't think you could do that stuff with, like, a Hawkeye. And Hawkeye's a cool character. He had, you know, the Matt Fraction has a good run with him or whatever. It's just cool to see what they could do with a character like Green Arrow. His name's not even that great. You know what I mean?
No, it's but, not.
So that's me. But the other exciting thing that we got to do this week is we just did our first movie night, like we were talking about earlier.
Stream.
Yeah.
It was fun. You guys joined us.
We got a good group. Yeah.
You guys were all positive. You were being nice.
Yeah.
We weren't spoiling anything yet. We enjoyed that 90s movie that felt like a nice taste of 90s movies. Yeah, it was
nice,
just like
nice
it's very
hunk of 90s movie.
Yeah, you're like, those shirts. that pastel wallpaper.
But it is funny, though, watching something like that. You can see why a character like Freddy Krueger is so iconic.
Because
He's got the scary claws. Claws make you iconic. Wolverine's iconic. Claws are a win.
Couldn't think of one other one. I was just like, yeah. Werewolf. No.
And the idea of being attacked in your dreams, like, I feel like that's probably the scariest, like, oh, Michael Myers will chop you up. Jason Voorhees will chop you up. Freddy Krueger will haunt your dreams and eviscerate you on the ceiling while you're sleeping.
You can never go to sleep because he'll murder. Oh, that's just terrifying. And also, there's been studies that show that, like, people under heavy sedation and, like, other maybe, like, drugs that they're, like, trying things on, like, they're trying on the patient, if they are suggestible enough, they could have physical reactions to things that are in their brain.
Yeah.
Like, one of the examples was, I think somebody did, they told the person they were going to put a flaming, like, a hot piece of, like, iron on them, and they were, like, screaming, like, don't, and they're under, like, they're basically asleep, but still talking under heavy suggestion, and then they put an ice cube on them, and their skin reacted like they had touched something hot.
That's burn, like, welding up and everything? Interesting. I'm very fascinated about the idea of the power of the brain, of the mind. Like, I was watching a thing about these monks that could put their hands through these, they weighed like a ton of these rollers that should crush your hand, but through the power of just through their focus, I don't think we've really tapped into what we're capable of or what our brain's capable of. It's kind of like when people talk about demon possession and people show up with like bites on their body. It's like that could just be the suggestion of their mind, which doesn't necessarily make it any less scary.
No, that happened to my friend.
Really? With bites and everything?
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I fully believe everything they said, but I do know that they did have bites. And I'm like, wow, that is, they were in their room alone. Like, they play with a Ouija board, and when the mom came home.
Again, man, don't fuck with the Ouija boards.
Yeah, never, ever, ever. But
don't knock on a door if you don't know what's going to answer.
Now, is my friend, call him James. It was James and his sister, and then their middle sister, so he's the youngest. But the older sister was the one kind of like setting it all up and making him do it. And then as they were talking, they realized they were talking to something really, really, really dark and like something really negative and saying really fucked up things to them. Mom came home. Their whole family's super Catholic. So as soon as they saw that, they grabbed it and like she tore it up and threw it away. And the younger kids thought that the older sister was messing with them, and the older sister thought the younger ones were messing with her. So they know they were like, they're like, whatever. They were just trying to mess with each other. But, like, things started to get worse. Like, the kids started to, like, they weren't sleeping. They were getting really irritable. And they were snapping at each other and their mom. And, like, their grades were declining. And then the oldest sister was getting it the worst. And they were, like, going to therapy. They were seeing psychologists. They're like, she's just, you know, depressed. And, like, you guys have to, like, kind of stick with therapy. And then all of a sudden, one night, they heard screaming coming from her bedroom. And they went in, and she was thrashing and thrashing and thrashing, and they woke her up, and she had bite marks on her arms and chest and thighs, and, like, they were, like, deep. They weren't, like, I know, I told that to someone before, and they're like, what, did you guys look for a boyfriend hiding under, like, the bed or something? He's like, no, like, these are, like, something was, like, biting her hard.
Gross.
And so they, because they're Catholic, got her exercised. Yeah. You know what was really creepy is that someone is walking into the door right now. That was terrifying.
Hi.
Hi.
It's just my wife. Don't worry about it.
Guys, turn around and say hello.
That's not... So it's... deep... Like, did you see the bites?
Uh-huh.
So, like, deeper than maybe the suggestion part.
Yep.
That's intense, man.
Yep. And she was terrified. And after that, it came up because the friend that I was friends with, so he's the younger brother of all of them. We were at a party and they were brought up using a Ouija board. And at the time I was like, eh, not really. And he was really adamant against that. And he was like, kind of like, to be honest, a little overly dramatic because mm-hmm. we didn't know what happened. We're like, okay, guys, man, calm down, man.
Oh, man.
But then, yeah, he told us and it was like, well, you know what? Whatever is true or not, like, you're very passionate about this story, so.
It is interesting because it's like, I kind of tend to be a little bit cynical about that stuff. Not that I don't, we've talked about this, not that I don't believe stuff is out there, but I don't know, I guess I try to be pragmatic about it.
Mm-hmm.
But you have, I have friends that have, not the bites, but other stories that are like, that's hard to just dismiss. Mm-hmm. And because they don't happen to you personally, you're like, I don't.
And it doesn't happen to anyone who is, like, directly in your family.
Yeah.
It's harder to, like, fully...
But, like, thank God, though, right? If that weird stuff's going down, like, I don't know. Don't bury your head in the sand. But I think there's a reason to try and be positive and put positivity out there and try not to, like... It's weird because I do think when I was younger, my parents did not like horror movies. Were uh-huh. not for horror movies, did not want me watching them. And honestly, I feel like that helps me appreciate them more because everybody I know that was like exposed to horror movies at a young age is very cynical about it. Like, that movie doesn't scare me.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'm into it. I'm old enough to be the intended audience. So I'm open to the stuff that they're talking about. And I do think, I don't know if I'm smart enough to articulate the need of horror movies other than being able to process the negativity in our own world.
Mm-hmm. We can joke about it because you're like, at the end of the day, most horror movies, like, unless they're like truly, like, if you're watching like Black Mirror, where at the end of it you're like, man, real life sucks.
Yeah.
Like, most horror movies are like a little bit comical, like, not like they're telling jokes. It's just like it makes you make light of darker situations,
and it also helps you process some of the darker stuff in your life. So, like, for example, I got a couple, so don't get turned off by this first one. Mm-hmm. The Babadook mm-hmm. deals with the idea of something that we culturally just do not deal with, like when a parent resents a child, which is a very natural thing to have happen
mm-hmm.
and something people need to process, and that we don't talk about culturally, but this horror movie is able to engage with it.
Mm-hmm.
For another example, I think one of the scariest movies I've seen recently is The Witch. And people are like, oh, it wasn't scary. Because it wasn't jump scares. But it's like, if you think about the idea of when you're part of, what's the term I'm looking for the people that one of the pilgrims that are founding America,
uh-huh.
you're in the middle of nowhere. And to be separated, to me, my takeaway of that movie is the need of a community.
Uh-huh.
That, like, whether you like people or not, you need people around you. You need to be able to build trust between those people, because if you don't have them, being out in the wilderness on your own is terrifying.
Yeah.
And people don't
understand that, like, I want to run away to the woods. It's like, nope, you would not be able to handle being alone at all.
And also being trapped in your own belief systems.
Oh yeah. No, if you can't, you also, like, yeah, there's also a lesson there, because it's just like, maybe get over yourself.
Yeah, maybe, because at the end of the day, no matter what you believe, you need to work to find the common ground with the people around you to just function, to live life.
You have to.
And like, so that stuff, like The Thing deals with, was came out around the time of the AIDS crisis. And so the not knowing the thing's so great because you don't know who the thing is.
Mm-hmm.
And that paranoia, it taps into stuff that you need to process as a person, or we need to process culturally. And so that was working in that negativity, working towards a positive end of facing that. I have not watched an episode of Black Mirror, but just the title Black Mirror reflecting the negativity back on you, so you confront it. My understanding,
specifically, that is one way of taking it, but it's specifically talking about the Black Mirror of any screen you look at. And metaphorically, that is what they're talking about as well.
And from what I understand of that show, it's that idea of like, hey, as we deal with all this new technology stuff, maybe keep your eyes open to what the downsides could be.
And also how, mainly the downside of what does it bring out of you.
Yeah.
And, I really wish you were watching the new season of Black Mirror, or any Black Mirror at all, because there's this new episode, and I'm going to word this very carefully. It's called San It's called San Junipero, which sounds like they're saying it wrong because it sounds like it's supposed to be like a Spanish name, but they keep calling it San Junipero. And I'm like, okay.
Oh, hold on a second. Mm-hmm.
And it's about a woman who's very kind of uptight. And
Is this the new season?
Yes.
Is this Bryce Dallas Howard?
No.
Okay.
That's the first episode. And deals with like this, how bad social media can get. But this one is the only positive episode I've seen. And it's like, it's something I wanted to actually, I forgot to talk about when we started, like what we're into this week. But it's like, it had me crying halfway through the episode because of how beautiful and positive it was. It's a woman who's very closed off, goes to, you're not really sure. You kind of think she's on like a getaway, like a spring break thing for her. Cause she's still young, but she runs into this woman who's very like, exuberant, and she's an extrovert, and she like just loves life, and like they get together, and you can tell like it's going to lead to like a relationship between the two of them, and like the thing is it's not heavy handed when you see it, and like
Alex and Maggie on this week's Supercoach.
Yeah, exactly, a little tie in, but like no, but from there the story just I can't say anything else because it is one of this might be a good like breakup thing to watch. Like this, like
interesting.
Like not because it's just more of like the emotions it made me feel. Because I'm not giving away again. I'm not giving away story things. It's just there is love in it, and it just makes you feel so many different things.
That's cool.
Yeah. So I'm gonna stop talking about it because I don't want to get into it.
That's a good pitch.
It's beautiful. But yeah. Black Mirror. Oh my god. The third episode, sorry, I got to talk about this one because I watched it last night because I can only take them one day at a time.
Yeah.
It's called Shut Up and Dance. And basically this kid, for some reason, his sister like uses his computer to download like a free movie streaming service. Yeah. Shame on you. That's bad. So he gets a virus and he puts in like this malware to like clean it up. And then later he comes back and watches porn. And then he gets an email as soon as he's done like cleaned up, and it's a video of him.
Whoops.
Doing, yeah. So, and they say, and then he gets an email that says, email me your phone number or I post this to your contact list. And so he's like panicking. And he's like, so he sends it off. And then this person makes him do things. And because he's like, and then he runs into people who are also being made to do things. And you're like, what is, and you're like, but then you start like thinking about it. You're like, why would you go this far?
Yeah, I kind of think it depends on like, I, you know what?
Because everyone has different things too. It's not just
masturbating. It's like somebody's giving your phone number. Nah, man, I just, you know, I guess post it.
But no, this would go to your family. This would, yeah, but it's a good episode.
It's like, I think because I feel like it, and granted, I have the benefit of knowing that this is a story, like. You wouldn't necessarily know you're in the movie, but it's one of those like, this is just going to get worse. Go for it.
Yeah.
Did I put on a good show? Go for it, man.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. And lastly, there's one that you should check out.
Sometimes you got to just take the hit, you know?
If you like horror, there's one called White Rabbit. This woman, she's kind of disheveled, wakes up in a, yeah, right? Or White Bear. Sorry, White Bear. White Bear. She wakes up and in her house, it's like she, and you can tell she kind of like looks confused. And then you start to figure out that she doesn't have a memory. And she can't remember, but she like everything's kind of like it's like there was a break-in, and she's like, I can't figure out what happened. And so she starts looking around without getting into details of the story. She walks outside and she can't find anybody, and finally she sees someone, and they have their phone on and they're recording her, and like they won't talk to her, and they will like, and then she'll like look into like the windows of houses, and there's just families in there filming her, and then masked people who aren't filming are coming after her. So it's
that's
like
terrifying.
Yeah, and like I won't go any further because it's
that
like
that sounds straight up like a Twilight Zone type.
These situation. Are, but yeah. Like they're the this is what whatever dark story Rod Serling had that they wouldn't let him put on the air.
This is that,
and it's an hour of it.
Have you seen? Oh man, I wish I remembered what it was called. There's a YouTube channel that's all somebody. The story behind it is, and I am inclined to believe that it's true. The story behind it is somebody had access to the America's Funniest Home Videos vault. And so there's this stuff that is the weirdest shit people would submit, and it's like it's scary. It's kind of like it's so weird that it's kind of freaky. And so this is just all content made up of that stuff that wouldn't make it to air on America's Home Videos. And it's
like recreation, or is it the actual footage?
No, it's the actual footage. It's unsettling, man. It's funny, but like in a very like,
what the fuck is this?
Exactly.
Yeah. Weird. I want to check that out.
That's crazy.
Web series last, because we're on like a Halloween episode. We'll get into Wes Craven and other horror things, but
yes.
Have you heard of Marble Hornets?
Marble Hornets?
Marble Hornets.
No.
It is a web series on YouTube that for a long, long time, at least me and a good chunk of the internet thought was real. And the way it was set up was, I can't remember this right. Okay, yes. These are all film students, and it's shot like vlog, but not like a vlog, like talking to the camera, more of just like this guy constantly filming wherever he's going. And he's telling the story of a friend he had who wanted to shoot a film for a final, and it was called Marble Hornets. And they stopped all of a sudden, and then the director, his friend, kind of like became a shut-in. And he became weird, and like the friend, the main character, is like, and the narrator is saying, he went to him and said, like, can I have the footage? I want to like put together a project about it. And he said, nope. And then eventually he was like, okay, you can have it, but you watch it and you don't get to make something out of it, and you have to burn it after you look at the footage. And you're like, okay, this seems a little dramatic, but like, what is it? And like, eventually the guy gets it, and then like he kind of forgot about it because he had to like finish his projects. But finally he's like, okay, I'm gonna go through it, we're gonna go tape by tape. And like, so each video is the tape, and like is like, and he's got like 30 tapes. So, and he records his own new things as he goes around. And this is where I learned about what Slenderman was. And that's why I did, before it became a meme, this was like my first introduction to it. So I was like, what? Like, basically it would start out like the first episode, like the first tape was the director at home alone at night. And you can see that someone is standing outside the front door, and he's like not moving.
This is the guy that said, no, you can't have my tapes.
Yeah, okay, so the subject now that we're looking at is going to be the director, and he just sees someone sitting outside his front door, and the video's over in like 30 seconds, and it's just like, that's it. And like the rest of it, like the narrator who is witnessing this for the first time like us, puts text up on the screen, and that's it, like just to say what he thinks.
Interesting.
And like eventually it starts to like, it had, I think it's one of the scariest moments I've ever seen in a thing online, like if it was a horror series, because eventually like in the tapes some stuff stops like making sense. So the main narrator tries to go to these places, and he goes into a house and it's been like ransacked to shit, and he's looking around, and like he starts to find like pills, and he's like, wait a minute, the director was taking those in like the tapes.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden he hears something downstairs, and he very slowly goes downstairs. And like, there's no cut, so it's like this guy is slowly like going down, turning off all the lights, and he has the infrared on, and he starts like looking, and there's another person downstairs, and he's like scrounging like through things, and he says the director's name because it was his house at one point. Yeah. He's like, Alex, and the thing turns around, and it's a man with a mask on. Whoops. And like looks at him and charges at him. And then like the sound goes weird. And whenever the Slender Man shows up, like everything starts to get distorted in the tape. And like until they get away, and they have like memory lapses and stuff. So it's like, they built up this really cool world. And I think they're up to like episode 60 now, because like now they're not looking at tapes anymore. They're just like, these people are trying to figure out the answer to all this.
That's cool.
It's super good.
How long has it been going on?
Like 2-3 years. You can actually like buy, like now once like the veil broke, they sold like the first season as like a DVD box set and stuff. Like they got,
that's cool.
Yeah. And like, if you good ever see them, like at haunted places, or like haunted places, a circle with an X in it,
mm-hmm.
that's the sign of Slenderman. That's like him. That means he's here. And like that his like other, like he can also kind of maybe turn people into things like him. And it's like,
cool.
Yeah. But you never like see it. You just kind of like see the aftermath, and you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
It's very good. So if you guys want something good to watch, that's
Marble Hornets.
Marble Hornets. Oh, shit.
This episode is brought to you by Marble Hornets. Go check it out.
Sorry, just last thing. Sorry, just remember this. It was great. There was one of the earlier tapes. It's a scene practice in a car, and the director is in the driver's seat, pointed towards the passenger seat, and he's filming the actor. He's doing the scene, and they're doing it over and over again, and the director, like based on everything that's happening, he's losing sleep, and he's getting like really irritable with his actors.
Yeah.
And then like finally like the actor like gets it. He leans back after like 6 minutes of footage in his seat, and behind the actor the entire time there's a Slender Man like maybe like 100 feet away, like in like hidden kind of.
Yeah.
And the director doesn't say anything. He puts the camera down and he drives away as quickly as he can. And that's it. Like it was just like so subtle. You're like, I don't know if I'm watching something scary right now. And then like it gets you. Very cool. And these are all students I know making it, so they did a freaking phenomenal job.
That's cool.
Yeah. So if you guys want a good scare, watch that. Definitely try to binge it in the middle of the night. It is a good
read. Right after you, hopefully right after we did our
movie night.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Turned into that.
It's a good one. You'd have to go back in time.
You would have to go back in time. If you can go back in time, mm-hmm. definitely use that ability mm-hmm. to watch that stuff right after we did our movie stream, which, like we said before, New Nightmare.
What'd you think?
Got some. You know what? I liked it. I like crazy stuff. I like it. My favorite part is when they're in the hospital crazy. And you're like, what is that? Because the hospital staff is just not good at their job. No. They're being grossly irresponsible.
Inappropriate. Yeah.
They're like sneaking shots into people. Mm. The only part
and
that makes
kids.
Sense.
Yeah.
The only thing, part that makes sense is they're interviewing the mom like, hey, you know what? Maybe you're the problem here, which makes sense because the mom was acting crazy. But then the babysitter starts getting mutilated by Freddy on the ceiling.
So cool.
That was really cool. And then they go home and now she's like in the movie. That whole sequence, dope. Best part of the movie.
Yeah.
Like the hospital to going back in the home and being the movie. To the entrance into Freddy's dream world. Didn't really care for it after that, but the entrance into it was cool.
I thought that was fun, and I liked that it was like they had like nice dream scares, like the stairway turning into mud. It's like, and she can't run and
that
get
was
a kid.
Cool.
And you have to get the Freddy-isms, like the long arms and the tongue and everything, and it's like, this is fun.
I liked that his quips were a lot more low-key in this movie.
Yeah.
It wasn't quite as comical.
Yeah, there were a few, like when the tongue came out of the phone, and you're like, that's okay. Fine. That's you kind of need that to make it a Freddy movie.
Yeah.
And I know they made a remake recently, and it was just all scares, like really no fun.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard. I haven't seen it. And obviously, they wanted that to like make a new franchise, and it did not.
Yeah.
So that was a bummer. But no, this movie is super meta. I don't know why at the end of the movie, it turns into the first movie.
It's interesting. This was... I believe he made this movie right before he made Scream.
Oh.
So this was definitely like Wes Craven, like figuring out that whole like movies that talk about movies type of a thing. I actually kind of dig this. I love the idea. I don't know. I'm a big fan of Grant Morrison's Animal Man run,
uh-huh.
which deals with Animal Man finding out that he's in a comic and having to deal with that. Have you read that?
No.
If you look right over your shoulder, I have the whole collection right there. You should check that out because it's really great.
Well, how does he handle it?
Not well.
Not
well. Uh-huh. There's a...
I know he
meets... this doesn't count as... I knew about it before reading it, and it doesn't take away the impact. He figures out he's in a comic, and he defeats a villain by going in between the panels.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just a really... And it
how does he do that?
he jumps out of the panel and goes through the white spaces.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. It's crazy. And it's just really...
You like meta stories like that.
Well, not...
Depends. Because I know you're not the biggest fan of Deadpool, depending on the writer.
Well, yeah. It's if it's done really well. Like, Grant Morrison explores it in a really, really interesting way about the nature of... storytelling
mm-hmm.
and what it means. Like in these stories, Animal Man has his life ruined, like it kind of is an exploration of like the dark superhero stories at the time
mm-hmm.
and so at the end, I guess spoilers if you really want to go in blind, I knew about this before reading it, he confronts Grant Morrison.
Yeah, I remember you telling me about that.
And he's like, why did you ruin my life? Like, you ruined my life. Mm. And he's like, my cat died, and I love that cat, and it made me really sad. And so I was kind of exploring that through your stuff. You really didn't deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just this really, like, what's happening right now? You know what I mean? And in a really smart, clever way. Like, the Deadpool, like, if you right now, if you read Spider-Man Deadpool, it's written by Joe Kelly.
Oh, it's so
And all
good.
That meta aspect of Deadpool was introduced, as far as I understand, was introduced by Joe Kelly. He was created by...
The names are...
Oh, my... It just left me. But but Joe Kelly kind of made Deadpool what we know of him today.
Mm-hmm.
And with Joe Kelly is a fantastic writer. Check out Four Eyes. He's got my favorite Spider-Man story ever is written by Joe Kelly
mm-hmm.
With the Rhino of all villains.
Oh, yeah. You've talked about that story. Yeah.
It's heartbreaking. I think it's the one time I was reading a comic that I just started crying. I was like, oh, my God. Yeah. So under his pen, Deadpool is hilarious. The meta jokes are fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
other writers, it can be lazy.
There is a story that I think you should check out. It's like they like to do these every once in a while where somebody gets the Infinity Gauntlet, and Deadpool does. Like, he was hired by Thanos, and then when he finds out that Thanos hired him, like, Thanos comes and picks him up with his Thanos copter from, like, the... Nice. Like, and it's, like, a really recent story, and instead, he tricks him because he puts on the Infinity Gauntlet and, like, warps reality, and, like, he puts him in jail or whatever, and, like, so he creates... He hosts... Deadpool roasts the Marvel Universe.
Nice.
And everybody shows up. Everybody, like, even Alpha Flight, like, every like weird knockoff, and he, like, Howard the Duck is there, and he's like, man, basically the through line is like, I was you before you were you. Like, yeah. I was like, we've done this before. Like, everybody's been through this. Like, we've done it. But there is a part where things get, like, really weird, and, like, he basically walks out of the club, and then he starts addressing the reader. He was like, yeah, I know you're there. Like, and
there's
he scolds you. He's like, how dare you do this to me, to them? Like, and, like, you're just going to keep reading.
Yeah.
No matter what.
There's a part in Animal Man where, most of the series takes, it takes place right after Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Mm-hmm.
So Grant Morrison kind of explores the idea that all these characters are just gone now.
Mm-hmm.
But the one character that remembers the pre-Crisis Earth was Psycho Pirate.
Yeah, because he had, like, a big role in it.
Yeah,
so.
and he remembers, and there's a point where he confronts the reader,
uh-huh.
and it's like, I see you. And for some reason, like, reading it was chilling. Like, it was the way it, like, happened was like, ugh.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I fucked up somehow.
Yeah, because it's like, I'm sorry, I just wanted to read the book.
I just wanted to read the comic.
But if you like meta stories, I know they definitely did it. It looks like a cash grab, but it's actually, like, very entertaining. Gwenpool, basically, like, when you find out she's from our world, and, like, she has to go through this really, like, shitty scenario where, like, she doesn't have an identity. Like, she doesn't. She popped up, and she's like, she hasn't said why yet or how.
Yeah.
But basically, she meets Doctor Strange. Like, time stops, and he's like, oh, you want an identity in this world? And she's like, yes, please. And so they start to look, like, through, like, the multiverse, and they're like, oh, look at this one. And he's like, they look at her world, and it's ours. And they're like, that's so weird. Whatever we do here leaves little imprints in yours. And it's like, he's like, but the thing is, I can't put you back in. Like, it's a one-way thing. Like,
yeah.
And he's like, I don't even know. I'm not powerful enough to even pull someone out of there. And basically they have to take her birth out of that world and put it in the Marvel universe. And they're like, if you do that, it didn't happen there. And, like, your parents don't remember you. And it's just really, like,
that's tough.
And it's like, this is what you have to get, because she's a huge Marvel comic fan.
I do really like the idea of somebody cross-playing coming to the Marvel Universe. Like, that's a really cool concept.
It is. And, like, she hasn't even met Deadpool yet. You don't know why she picked the name Gwenpool at all. But besides, like, her quirkiness and fourth wall breaking, whatever. But it's, she then, like, kind of has to, like, deal with, like, nope, I sealed my fate. Yeah. Like, I'm stuck here and I can't get back. And, like, she kind of tries to play it off like it's a good thing. Like, when she was on a train, she looked over and Miles Morales was sitting there, and she knows who Miles Morales is. And she's like, and she doesn't say anything. She's like, hi, Spider-Man. And, like, he freaks out. And when she gets confronted by Thor, she's like, shit, Natalie Portman played her. What's her name? Is that Jane? Then, like, Thor stopped and, like, almost killed her. And, like, it was this fun storyline. But, like, it's a real story of, like, a normal person becoming, like, a hero or an anti-hero or whatever she's supposed to be.
Yeah.
It's definitely sad, too, because it's like, ugh, meta stories can be really cool or really sad.
Well, it's interesting because in Animal Man, like, when he's talking to Grant Morrison, he's Animal Man's like, so I'm not real? And he's like, Grant Morrison's like, well, in some ways, you're more real than I am. You were around before I was, and you'll be around long after I'm gone. Like, I didn't create you, you know? I just am kind of in charge of your story right now. It's interesting stuff. And again, in the right person's hands, like, great. And New Nightmare, it's I don't think there's anything, like, deep going on.
No.
It's just fun. It's just it's a fun, like,
capturing a villain inside of a story. By the way, Max Landis did that for Mixie Spitlick.
Yeah.
Not figure out how to
Mixie
say
Mixie Spitlick.
Spitlick. Fucking hell. Yeah. But yeah, he pops up in reality in the end of, like, one of the issues, and he's like, I'm gonna be around a lot longer than you. You can't even say my name. You don't even understand how I live. And then he fades back into the comic, and he's gone. And it's like,
it's interesting. Like, watching New Nightmare, I was thinking about Mixie.
Yeah, because he acts like
you could make Mr. Mixie Spitlick, like, really scary.
The devil.
Yeah, you could make him Superman's Freddy Krueger. It's that'd be really interesting.
just invading his dream, because they have their dream villains every once in a while. Like, what was the one with, like, where his skin melted off in Justice League? Do you remember? He was like,
Dr. Destiny.
Yeah, he was.
That's one of my favorite ones, because it's Martian Manhunter and Batman teaming up, and Batman just can't fall asleep.
He can't. Like, he even, like, drinks coffee. Like, he breaks into somewhere.
He's playing the radio and turns on the air and stuff.
No,
like,
he blows out the window so he can have the... Yeah. That was a good episode. Because it's
that,
like...
That show is so good.
Mm-hmm. And also, it's fun because he's like... He was a henchman that got arrested and he's there for the rest of his life. So he's like, yeah, I'm going to get superpowers.
Yep.
Yeah. It's good. It's a good show. And that's Freddy Krueger in the Justice League.
In the Justice League. We got some tweets about it. Sam Herbst.
Hello.
At Sam Herbst says, New Nightmare is fantastic for the fact that it pulled the "it's all been the movie franchise" card, and it actually worked.
Yeah, it's definitely weird. I wish the actor who played Freddy played a bigger role in it. I wish he got pulled back in a little bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he was there and, like, he was painting pictures and, like, it meant something, but then nothing.
Yeah. Also, if you guys watch the stream, I talked about how apparently Wes Craven wanted to include Johnny Depp, because Johnny Depp's big major motion debut was in the Friday or
Nightmare
on Elm Street franchise, but he was too scared to ask him because Johnny Depp was too big a celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
And they met after the movie came out, and Johnny Depp was like, "Oh no, I would have loved to."
And it's like, "God damn it, son of a bitch." It would have been so cool. And, like, all he would have to have done is shown up when, like, the dad starts to act, or, like, the guy starts to act like your dad again, and then, like, the boyfriend shows up, and you're like, "Wait, okay, what the fuck's happening right now?" It's like, that's fucking Johnny Depp on my lawn. Like, what does this mean? We also got another tweet here from James Stark Plays. He joined us during the stream. It was good to see you, bud. Something about Nightmare on Elm Street just kills me. The idea that you aren't safe and always must be aware just is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that you can never go to sleep. That is a nightmare.
So then we put out a treat. We put out a little treat.
Trick or treat.
Asking, like, what your guys' favorite horror movies were and why.
Mm-hmm.
We got Trinity Rose at Trinity Roses said, I hate scary movies, but rewatch Sinister and The Descent all the time. From what I understand, The Descent's pretty hardcore.
Yep, it is. I don't like it for similar reasons why I don't like The Babadook. It's the ending. The ending ruined it for me.
Man, I wish... I wonder if we can do a spoiler thing talking about the ending. I don't... Whatever. Maybe
Babadook?
We'll make of Babadook.
The movie's been out for a while.
It's been over a year.
And no, it's been over, like, has it only been a year?
Because you're talking about, okay, hold on.
The Descent's been out since, like, 2007.
What? Maybe we'll revisit The Babadook if we have time at the end.
At the end.
Carlos Lopez at Carlos _ Uncut. John Carpenter's The Thing. It's visually amazing. The actors and characters are great. Filled with lots of tension. Love it. I am a big fan of The Thing because it's that perfect little horror movie of being engaging and entertaining. One, also Kurt Russell.
Correct. Hello. Yeah, in a horror movie.
And also touching on deeper stuff. Not being preachy, not, like, getting bogged down with it, but it touches on some things, and it has the perfect ending.
Mm-hmm.
The Thing has, like, the perfect horror movie ending.
I don't know what it is. But you know what else we got here? We got another tweet from Elizabeth Edkins at Ellie Beth 00. I love Before I Awake, Hush, The Witch, Wakewood, In Fear, The Babadook, You're Next. There's too many to pick. I do not know a lot of those.
I'm a big fan of You're Next, mm-hmm. and The Babadook, and The Witch.
The Witch. I do not know Wakewood, In Fear, Hush, or Before
I've heard
I
of
Wake.
Hush. I believe it's on Netflix.
I've heard of it too, but I just keep thinking of the Batman character.
Eric Kloss at Sauce the Boss. Arachnophobia definitely scarred me for a long time as a child. Barely slept for weeks after that.
Man, I cannot put shoes on unless I tap them a few times before. Because
of arachnophobia?
Yes. Oh my God. Jeff Daniels
I got that from living in Arizona. And, you know, I was like, hey, man, maybe a scorpion. Look out.
Uh-huh. Oh my God. When the spider's on fire at the end.
I haven't seen it.
It's just like, basically, I think it's like, what the fuck brings it over? But basically, a bunch of spiders get pulled over from, like, South America or Africa or something.
Should have been Australia. That's where those big, scary spiders
are. The big ones. And, like, so, like, the babies, like, get spread out around town. And the one death that always scared me is, like, one of the babies crawled into the shoe of a doctor in the town. He puts his foot in. And then all of a sudden, a way too loud of crunch happens. And it's like, and, like, he starts screaming. And, like, I think you become, like, paralyzed. And you just slowly die while you can't move.
Gross.
Yeah. It's good, though. It's like, also, it's a B movie. It's a B horror movie.
Man, I like those movies. Mm-hmm. I'm down.
And it's Jeff Daniels. It's Jeff Daniels.
Jeff Daniels is great, man.
And I think he's like a spider doctor or something. He's like an archaeologist or something like that.
They should just call him, we're bringing in the spider doctor.
Spider
Don't you worry.
Have you seen Eight-Legged Freaks?
No.
Wow, that is a total B horror movie. I think, what the fuck happens? I don't know what makes them big, but a bunch of...
How excited you got for Eight-Legged Freaks.
I saw it so many times, and I watched a lot as a kid. It definitely doesn't hold up. It's one of those early 2000s movies, but...
You know, Scarlett Johansson is one of those, like, B-movie, I want to say spider-related things. Uh-huh. I saw it on Sci-Fi one day.
Oh, yeah?
I was like, that's Scarlett Johansson. It's like a 15-year-old.
You all gotta start somewhere. Mm-hmm. But, no, Eight-Legged Freaks, something happens in a mine shaft, and it makes a bunch of spiders grow really big, and, like, it's really comical, and, like, it doesn't take itself seriously, but a lot of people die. Okay. And, like, I think one point, like, one of the bigger spiders, about the size of, like, a dog, like, gets inside this woman's house that's being remodeled, and, like, the cat keeps meowing, and they don't know why, and then, like, you see from the cat's perspective, one of the spiders, like, pulling itself through a power socket, and, like, it, like, had to, like, shove itself in there, so the cat goes in after it, and then, like, they fight, and, like, and then it's not, like, fighting, like, they, like, punch it, like, inside the wall, you don't see anything, all you hear is, like, punch sound effects, and then them slamming each other into the walls, and then finally the spider slams the cat into the fan fixture or the light fixture on the ceiling and fries it and kills it, and like then the spider runs away and you're like,
that's cool.
What the fuck is that? It's the movie
sold.
Is ridiculous. I think
I am sold.
Oh, and then David Arquette's in it, main character.
Perfect.
Couldn't tell you another one.
Yeah There you go.
Oh my god, do you know the spiders that make trap doors and they
up? Yeah
They kill ostriches, and like that's how big they are. They take
down
ostriches
amazing.
And people inside of them. So good. Anyways, that's a good movie. We got more tweets here. Robert Gonzalez, my favorite horror movie is Trick or Treat, Trick or Treat. It has a cool story and it's pretty scary, especially the school bus zombie kids. I've seen that on Netflix a lot. And I've never seen it.
I've never seen it either. Yeah. I've never seen it either.
Same with like, Oogie Boogie, Jeepers Creepers. I've never
seen
it.
Oh yeah. I've
seen
that. That's fine.
One and two.
No.
I don't, what is the
I caught
premise?
One of them on TV. I don't know.
There's no
kids on a bus goes round and round. No, and then there's this like scarecrow thing, scarecrow gargoyle thing with wings. Hunts people on the bus. It was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I caught it on a lazy Sunday. It's
obviously
not like
memorable.
I wasn't like it's not when you like pay for a ticket to go see a movie theater and you're like focused in on it.
Mm-hmm.
Melissa Howler at Melissa R973. High tension because it's super bloody and there's an amazing plot twist.
I do not know that one either.
I've heard of it. Sam, What's your favorite horror movie?
Ooh, The Witch is up there. That is a very good horror movie. I think for a long time, long, long time, it was the first Insidious movie because it was this really fun idea of this kid becoming like a vacuum for evil entities to keep coming towards him. Because his soul is sucked out there into the never, like, into whatever other world it is.
Yeah.
So just, it's, have you ever seen it?
I haven't seen Insidious 1, but I have seen Insidious 2.
Which
loops back into Insidious 1.
Yeah, which is not, and like, there's like time travel stuff in it. Yeah. Not good. But
I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun.
If you see the first one, it's really fun because it just becomes like multiple hauntings and like they're always different. And you're like, why the fuck are there all these like different like and like Rose Byrne's in it and Patrick Wilson.
Patrick Wilson. If you need to choose one horror franchise with Patrick Wilson, watch The Conjuring.
The Conjuring's definitely more solid. One and two are so
it's
good.
Really good.
But Insidious I liked for a long time, but now I've killed it because I watched it like 9 times. But there is this one scene where it's like the mom's like, it's a continuous shot of her going back and forth between the laundry room. And when she does, finally, like on like the third time, there's just a kid standing in the corner by a coat rack. And like, it's not meant to be seen. It's like they go really fast. And all of a sudden, like, that's when you start to see it do more things. Like, it changes like a song that's playing to a record. And it's like that song from Insidious, like, dip down.
Yeah.
And this is the first time you hear it. And you're like, what the fuck's happening? And like it's very well made. And then we saw the woman from Wes Craven's New Nightmare, nurse.
Yeah,
she made it 20 years later.
20 years later. Mm-hmm. And I think she's pretty famous for being a part of a lot of like horror movies and stuff.
Yep. And she's getting more work, and I think she does like TV shows and stuff. So good for her, huh?
So Insidious is up there. The Witch, you said.
Both Conjurings. I think
Conjuring
won.
It's like, the if there's one thing that's gonna take me out of Doctor Strange is The Conjuring 2 and being like, this could have just been the Doctor. Because basically, what's the name of the family? The couple?
The Warrens.
The Warrens. They're basically the supernatural Avengers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And which is what makes the movie so, like, I love the idea.
Because they bring the Amityville Horror House into it. Yeah. And Whore House. And they bring that in there. And it's like, oh, shit, these people are connected to everything.
Well, a lot of exorcism stories and stuff like that are based around their memoirs, whether they're true or not. There's some dubious aspects to the Warrens. Warrens, the characters in those movies are really cool.
Yeah, and they definitely sell it like they are the truth. Like, yeah. they've been through this, and they're like, I'm just fucking tired that no one believes this.
Yeah, I did some research after seeing The Conjuring 2 on that, because it's based on real events. The girl was probably alive.
They explore that a lot. They
made that a plot point in the movie, but like in real life, like, nah, she's probably full of shit.
Yeah. And like, maybe like she was very lonely and like,
yeah, who knows?
She needed some attention, and the family got a lot.
Yeah,
they didn't have any money. Like, it made sense. But if it was real, like,
but again, the movie, awesome.
Yes,
so much fun. One of my favorite movies of this year.
Also, like, and also adding the plot point of like a demon controlling a ghost, like, to like masquerade as, sorry, yeah. Spoiler, didn't mean to do that. That one slipped out. But the movie is still good regardless of that. So. Yeah. And like the tape playing it, like they would record like different pieces of it.
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
Yeah.
Those are fun movies.
What about you?
What about me? The Thing.
The Thing.
Is really up there. What are some other good? The First Alien's really good.
Never seen it.
The Witch. It's amazing. The Witch is a beautiful movie.
Very good.
And yes, it is a horror movie. Yes, it is. 100%.
It just doesn't have jump scares. Like, yeah.
I love the fact that it does not have a single jump scare.
You leave feeling bad.
Yeah,
you
just are unsettled. Just like, man.
The ending is so good. Because it's just like,
blows your mind.
The whole point of, you know, like whenever you hear a villain, they're like, we want to ruin your innocence. It's like, guess what? This movie shows you step by step how to do that, and they succeed. And you're like...
And it's interesting too, because it makes it makes a pretty good offer, but it's one of those that, like, because there are people that came out of the movie like, yeah, and you're like, no, think about what happened there.
What do you mean? Yeah, like
a contingent that sees this movie as a testament to female empowerment. Which I can see how you see that, but if you go a step deeper, the figure that gives that empowerment, that what I would call fake empowerment, is a male figure.
Yeah.
So it's false.
Yeah. Like, again,
and also think about what happens in that movie. It's so bad.
Yeah. Like, there isn't in that story, the women are the powerful characters, and like, not like the supernatural ones. It's like the mother, like, she's upset about everything, but the husband is like not holding it together, and the wife is the one like that's being an anchor. So I'm like, I don't know if this movie is the place for that. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm wrong.
I don't know.
For me, like, you can't see the first reveal of the quote unquote the witch and not call that a horror movie. Like, that's horrifying. That first thing, the action that's going on there, is like, oh man, like, we're in it.
We saw it in Fantastic Fest last year, and you kind of feel not sick, but you kind of feel sick. You're like, I should. A lot of this movie is like, I shouldn't see what's happening.
Have you ever played The Witcher or know anything about those games? I become a big fan of that universe. It's really, because it's a very pragmatic, like, you're not following an epic, like, knight saving the world. You're a guy, this is a guy whose day job is killing monsters. He goes to a town, you got a banshee luring people to their death, pay me and I'll take care of it for you. You don't have money, too bad, so sad, I'm out of here. And it's just very pragmatic. I would love to see the guy that directed The Witch direct a movie set in The Witcher's world.
You should learn about how far the director of The Witch went, because he spent 6 years poring over texts and mythology and ghost stories from that era.
It's based on actual journal entries from people in that time and everything. A lot of the dialogue is lifted directly from
stuff. And that doesn't mean, like, again, the true aspect, the director even says, like, no, it's just like, this is what people actually believed. What you're seeing right now would be a horror movie to them, because it's like, this is what they told the kids, and the people who were superstitious enough believe this.
Yeah.
Deep down in their soul, they're like, If you go out in the woods and you see any of this, you go the other way quick.
Well, because again, think about the, like it's interesting that we don't really have, I think we're kind of losing that fear of the unknown.
This definitely instills it.
Yeah, because it's like you don't have any more that wilderness. You know, another thing that captures that really well is the first Blair Witch, of just being lost in the woods. And you don't think about, like, we live in a city. Like, you don't think about just being nowhere and not knowing where you are or how to get out of that place. That's one of the reasons I don't like deep water very much.
Oh, really?
I'm not a fan of being, I'm not a very strong swimmer. Two, I don't like being in water where I can't, like, immediately get up and get out. I just don't like it.
I like to go to Carpinteria, and there's a dock they put out like 40 feet from the shore.
Yeah.
And you have to swim to it. But there is like a slight fear of like, I'm getting tired. Yeah. Like, what do I do? I'm halfway there. And it's like, then once you get there, you're like, fuck, I'm already tired. I have to get all the way back there. Like, it's a little scary because once you dive in, you can like fully dive in. And like, I ran into fish last time. I hit them and I was like, wow. And we're getting back up and we're going as quickly as we can back to shore. And don't look like a seal. Good. Yeah. Just look like a thing.
One of my favorite, I was just thinking, I like horror comedies a lot. The pinnacle, I think, has to be Evil Dead 2.
Uh-huh.
Because there's, have you seen Evil Dead?
No, I've seen Army of Darkness, but that's
Army of Darkness. Honestly, I actually really like the Evil Dead remake. I think that's the perfect example of how to do a remake, because they took the premise and made it something personal to that director. Same person that directed Don't Breathe.
Oh, yeah.
Fede Alvarez.
Yeah, Fede.
Yeah, big fan of his. Mm-hmm. And the Evil Dead 2 is great because there's moments in it where you're like, I don't know whether I should be laughing or whether I should be horrified. I kind of feel this is hilarious and mortifying at the same time. Like, I don't know how to respond to this. It's like it's great at making that feeling.
I think I need to check out the Evil Dead. There's a lot of classic horror movies that I wanted to watch that are not available on Netflix for some reason. And we checked out Shudder, which is this free horror live streaming app you can get. Also, there's a website, I believe. They don't have the big ones. They have all like Gingerbread Man. And it's like, come on, Netflix has those. Don't give me that.
Don't give me that shit.
But guys, let us know what your favorite horror movie is.
Real quick, do we want to talk about the end of The Babadook?
Hit him with it. 3, 2, 1, spoilers.
Thank you for listening. I guess if you don't want to know the end of The Babadook, bye-bye. So you're talking about the very ending where it's basically living in her basement and she feeds it.
Yeah.
I really like that because it's the idea, some hurts, some damage that's done to you, you can't ever get rid of. And the best you can do is contain it. And so I believe that movie ends with the son asking, like, are you okay? Yeah. And he's like, today's a good day.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, because it's dealing a lot with the loss of her husband. For me, the only part that didn't really work is when the Babadook's making the T-Rex noises and the hands are stretching out. And then when you see the husband's head get sliced, it's like, man, that was weak.
I thought the ending was way too heavy-handed. I get what it was symbolizing, but I was like, oh, God. Okay, we get it. Lost. No, it didn't. I was just like, I understood it. And I was just like, I don't care. But I'm like, it was like such a good horror movie. And then all of a sudden I was like, and now here's the lesson. I'm like, sorry. Sometimes when I don't go into a movie wanting to like learn something, I'm like, I don't know. That sounds like small minded, but I was like, okay, I just wanted a cool movie.
You know, the feeling, the movie that creates a feeling like that for me is It Follows. I really, really enjoyed It Follows until, have you seen It Follows?
Yes.
Until the pool scene.
That is when,
and
it
then
gets
suddenly
weak.
it becomes just like another horror movie. Like, how do we defeat the monster? Oh, we can't. And because about halfway through the movie, I'm like, I don't know how you end this movie.
Mm-hmm.
You've created the perfect mousetrap. Like, there's no way to get out of it. There's no win.
No, you almost did, and then you see like how bad it gets.
It also bums me out that the only time because it can look like anything.
Mm-hmm.
The only time it looks like somebody personal to her is her dad, who we've never met.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't mean anything to us as an audience.
It felt like a studio trying to find a better ending than what the director wanted.
The last shot is really cool, really evocative.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot, like, you can really delve into that movie because the director made a lot of conscious decisions to make that movie timeless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a, yes.
It's like, if one example is when they're reading off a book off of a e-reader that looks like a seashell, but then they're also using cord phones, and you're like, I can't tell. And like they go to a movie where there's like a marquee and stuff, and you're like, this could be the future or the past.
It could be the '80s. It could be right now, or it could be 20 years in the future. Like it could be anywhere on.
And
that.
This is just the Midwest that hasn't updated yet. Yeah. So never know.
But the first 2/3 of that movie. Three-fourths? I don't know. I really dug.
I like everything. And I bought that movie. I wanted to keep that.
It's good. The scene where he explains it to her, great. Yeah. And she's in the wheelchair and everything.
Oh, God. It's a fucking... It's the worst. But it's amazing, but it's the worst.
Yeah.
It's so well shot as well. But anyways, guys, if you haven't checked out It Follows, we've definitely talked about it a bunch. It's a very good movie.
It's good.
It's a solid horror movie of the... Whatever time period, whatever decade we're in.
The Witch, obviously, we're talking about that. Green Room, I think technically kind of counts as a horror movie.
Yes, it's definitely a thriller.
It's definitely a thriller, but it's so intense, like it's...
Scary.
Yeah, it's kind of
And there's like jump scares as well.
Don't Breathe is a good one. This year's been good for that.
I didn't see Lights Out, but I heard a lot of good things. And I know you didn't really...
The short Lights Out, the little short is great.
I remember you didn't quite like Blair Witch too much, but I did enjoy it. Yes. So that's up to you guys. Definitely a beer will help make any scary movie way
just
scarier.
A little bit scarier.
Yeah, you just become a little less like you're not really on your game. So when a jump scare happens, you're like, "Wow, it got me." But anyways, guys, what's your favorite beer to drink when you're watching scary movies? Let us know in the comments down below. DJ, a little plug
At DJ Tracks Trash on Twitter and Instagram and YouTube. I just put up a video this week talking about the scariest superheroes. As opposed to supervillains.
Is Ragman one of them?
It is, actually. In the comic books, his ability is very scary.
If you guys didn't know, in Arrow, there is an awesome hero named Ragman. He wears rags. They're kind of like sentient a little bit. He controls them. But in the comics, they're souls. And he can suck your soul into the rags.
That's right. Basically, he's basically a Dementor. And for some reason, he's a good guy.
Yep. But I mean, like, he mainly gets bad guys.
Still, I don't know if the punishment fits the crime there.
I mean, the Punisher definitely, like, eviscerates people.
Yeah,
and,
but
like,
he doesn't... They're not trapped in his uniform forever.
Potato, patata. Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? Who would win, Punisher or Ragman? That's the real question.
Spoiler,
of the day.
Perhaps the Punisher's also on my list. Because if you think about the Punisher conceptually, if you put the Punisher in our world, that's terrifying.
And Daredevil Season 2 does deal with that. You're like, no, this man's a mass murderer.
Yeah.
I know, like, he helped me out. But no, it's like, he's a murderer.
I mean, and also, he gets the benefit of being in a fictional world where writers get to say, oh, he never makes a mistake. All the people he murders deserves it. There's no news story of somebody like, oh, he shot up a bunch of people, but don't worry. They had come. It's like, oh, he shot up a bunch of people, and they should not have been. That was a mistake.
He got it the wrong time. Yeah. It was a restaurant. He hit him 30 minutes before they showed up. So,
good job.
That was just a family. It was an Italian family. A little racist. Anyways, guys, let us know who would win, Ragman or the Punisher. That's the question of the day. Yeah. Hashtag OnlyStupidAnswers, at OnlyStupidAnswers on Twitter. Ooh, a little plug for me, at Sam Basher on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook. But anyways, back to the plug for OnlyStupidAnswers. OnlyStupidAnswers, yank those vowels out of stupid.
Yes.
That's on Twitter. But full name, OnlyStupidAnswers on Instagram and Facebook and YouTube. You can go watch our live stream for Wes Craven's New Nightmare.
Ooh, I don't know if you can. I just got an email while we were doing this.
Maybe it's gone.
Maybe you can hear a little bit too much of the movie. But hey, you know what? Go to our YouTube anyway and just see what happens.
Guys, we appreciate you. Thanks for tuning in. And make sure you follow, rate and review us on iTunes. Listen to us on Spotify, Overcast, Player FM, iTunes.
Yeah.
And Audio Boom.
Yes. And also, next week we're going to be talking about Doctor Strange. So if you're excited about that movie, check us out.
Go see
it. And we may have a special guest.
Ooh. It's Benedict Cumberbatch. No, it's not. There's a chance. I mean, anything's possible. Especially when we learn in Doctor Strange. But guys, this is only 2 minutes.